This morning, this meeting of the House Fisheries Committee will come to order at 10:03 a.m. in room 120. Welcome everyone, and please remember to turn your cell phones off or on mute. Today is Thursday, February 2nd, 2017. Members present are Representative Eastman, Representative Tarr, Representative Fansler, Representative Chenault, Representative Newman, and myself, Chair Stutes. Let the record reflect, we do have a quorum to conduct business. We are also joined by Kelly Burnett from House Records, Somers Cole from the LIO, and of course my Fisheries Committee aide, Reed Harris, who we're happy to have with us. Please note, at 11 o'clock we will gavel out and begin the Department of Fish and Game House Finance Subcommittee. This meeting will be chaired by Representative Ortiz. Today we will have one bill on the agenda, House Bill 56, Commercial Fishing Loans. Presenting the bill, is the sponsor, Representative Ortiz, and his staff, Elizabeth Bowling. Would the sponsor please put himself on the record and begin your presentation?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Representative Dan Ortiz. I represent District 36, Southern Southeast Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to your committee, Madam Chair, for this chance to bring forward this bill. Can I go ahead and proceed and talk about the bill?
Please do.
Thank you very much. You know, I developed this bill due to a consistent demand that I was hearing from my constituents down in Ketchikan, Alaska, in southern southeast Alaska. You know, I heard loud and clear from them that, and other folks throughout the state, that the commercial fishing loan program loan amount is too low to use for its intended purposes. The purpose of a Section B loan is to allow borrowers to use this money for intended purposes. The purpose of Section B, again, is to allow a potential boat owner to purchase a permit, to buy a vessel, to pay for safety upgrades, refurbish the boat, things like that. Back when the program was established in around 1982, the loan amount was, maximum loan amount was $300,000. And what this bill would do would raise the maximum loan amount to $400,000. If you factor in the rate of inflation from 1982 to today, the maximum loan amount would be $746,000 and plus some. So this particular bill, while it doesn't cover the increased cost for things like permits and boats and repair equipment, it does not cover that increase in those costs. It at least helps the situation. Really, I see this bill as an opportunity most for the younger fishermen in our state. You know, one of the issues that we're hearing about the fishing industry is the graying of the fleet, and that we need younger folks to get involved in the business. By raising the loan limit amount, this would allow better access to the fishing industry for a young person to start a business in the fishing industry. In my particular district, the fishing industry is the number one economic driver to the economy. And I don't see any change in that in terms of, you know, the demand for Alaskan seafood products is never going to go away. It's only going to increase. And it seems like to me that we in the state need to do what we can to help facilitate the industry and to help facilitate the growth of the industry. And this particular bill is only one small step in helping to make that happen. So I appreciate your support for this bill, but we are open to any questions that you might have about the bill at this time.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Are there any questions from this committee for Representative Ortiz? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to have you say a little bit the purpose of the loans, because the bill just only changes the dollar amount, just to understand a little bit more about what things they can, the increase will help purchase.
Sure. Appreciate that through the chair, Representative Tarr. under the original loan purposes, it talked about the purchase of a boat, talked about the purchases of permits, talked about equipment, those kinds of things. So again, Representative Tarr, this particular bill doesn't change the original intent of any of that, of those loans. It just makes more money available to people. And again, doesn't keep up with inflated costs since that time, but it's a small step in the right direction.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple. Representative, what is the interest rate on these loans?
I am not at liberty to say directly. However, we do have people from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development who would be able to speak more directly to that. I really couldn't speak to that. But someone will be able to speak to that.
Yes, Madam Chair, I just want to make sure that they're competitive in the marketplace and not trying to get so much interest from these fishermen. You know that it's a non-competitive program, so that the interest rate is set too high. But also I want to make sure that it doesn't compete with private industry at the same time, too, who's also out there to try and make bank loans. And maybe what the sideboards are on this, I think, is what Representative Tarr was talking about a little bit.
Certainly. Thank you, Representative. Didn't you say that we do have the department here to testify?
Yes, we do. And I can add from my own knowledge that, Representative, I appreciate the question, that in order for a fisherman to access one of these loans, they must first approach the commercial banks and propose that they receive money from them, and it's my understanding that they have to get a denial letter in order to ask the folks at the economic development for a loan. They have to show that they went to a bank and were denied access to a loan before they could approach these folks.
That's another question.
Follow-up?
Well, another question. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, do you know what the default rate is on this loan?
Yes. At the end of 2016, they were at a 2.2% default rate, which the standard average out there is, I believe, 5% is what the...
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Fensler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, too, have several questions.
Through the chair.
Through the chair, Madam Chair. Rep. Ortiz, can you speak more to the fund that this comes from, and is this something that we're continually putting money in, or it's...
Good question, Representative Fensler, through the chair. The original amount of money that was put into this program back in around 1982, or actually between, it was funded, I guess, between the 70s to the early 80s, was the amount of $60 million. Okay. Since that time, there has been no additional monies that have gone into the program. It's my understanding that the value of that $60 million now is at $95.2 million. And so the whole overall program funds itself, funds the staff to administer the program. There is no GF that goes from our coffers directly into the program to support the program. It's totally self-sustaining.
Thank you. Those are the kind of programs we like. So, through the chair,
follow-up.
Can you tell us a little bit about how many loans per year we see through this program and the duration of those loans?
Now, through the chair, Representative Fensler, that's that kind of information. Again, I think we're going to have to rely on our folks from the Alaska Community and Economic Development Program who are here today, and we'll hopefully bring them up after my testimony.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up, Representative Fensler.
And through the chair, so $400,000 is the new proposed limit. $300,000 is the old one. You gave us that figure of $700,000 if it had been actually increasing along with inflation. What is the average startup cost on these projects?
Well, that's a tough question because I think it varies so much depending on what it is, what type of fishery you're entering into. You know, the seine permit, for example, is a higher cost than a gillnet permit. Now, the loan program could work with a gillnetter, a potential gillnetter, or a seine boat operator. But just the permit itself would vary in price. And then, of course, the boat size of a seiner is going to be significantly bigger in general than a gillnetter, so the cost of that particular boat would be higher. So, you know, I've just heard only anecdotally, you know, we're talking about some pretty significant costs to get involved in the industry, to get a seine permit, to get a boat. You know, not unreasonable to think more in terms of $700,000 rather than the $400,000. I think that's very, I might even be low if you were going to purchase both a permit and a quality seine boat. So.
Follow up, Madam Chair. Just two more, I promise. One question I did have through the chair was there's this line here at the very bottom of page 1, line 13 all the way through page 2, line 2, where speaking about the total balances may not exceed $2 million for each community eligible. How is community defined?
It's a good question through the chair. Good question, Representative Fansler. Again, I'm going to have to punt on that particular one to the folks who are here that can tell you a little bit more about how that works.
Okay. And final follow-up.
Follow-up, Representative Fansler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, do you believe $400,000 is enough for this cap, or, and this will probably involve our other group as well, can the fund sustain that, or do we need to actually be looking to make this a little more inflation-proof than it already has at the $400,000?
Through the chair, Representative Fansler, I have certainly heard from constituents that they would like to see the amount be higher, that, you know, that the needs in order to get involved in the industry are often more than the $400,000 that this bill would call for. So I wouldn't be opposed to raising the limit. But the bill, I stand behind the bill as it is right now. There's some reasons why, you know, we might not want to raise that limit. But at the same time, there's definitely some strong support for raising that particular limit. So I think as we follow the process of this bill, those conversations have to be had and looked at and discussed with the folks at the who run the program as well.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Tarr, you have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Just wondering, and going back to the original question I had of, you know, what was included, because I didn't have a familiarity with that. And so another question is, the original program, doesn't include tenders, and did you consider that as far as, you know, the graying of the fleet and how far that ripple effect is influencing, you know, stability in the industry?
Through the chair, Representative Tarr, I'm going to allow Elizabeth Bowling to read from the actual statute, and what I'm pretty comfortable in saying that this bill doesn't change anything about where the monies can go or how the monies can be spent, anything like that. It doesn't change any of that from the original statute. All it does is it raises the amount of money. But I think Elizabeth has language around how the money can actually be spent.
Okay. Thank you. If the chair would allow.
Absolutely. Please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee.
On the record.
My name is Elizabeth Bowling. I work for Representative Ortiz. Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, Representative Tarr, I'd first like to address your question about tenders. There is a loan program specifically for tenders that's outside of this loan program. And thank you for asking that question. I had several constituents email me with the same question. There is a loan program separate from this one.
Thank you.
If I may read from statute.
Please.
For a Section B loan, to an individual for the repair, restoration, or upgrading of existing vessels and gear, for the purchase of entry permits and gear, for the construction and purchase of vessels. And then it goes on to define that the individual who is receiving a loan must have been a state resident for a continuous period of 2 years. That's correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Representative Chenault.
Well, Madam Chairman, I won't probably direct these two questions to Representative Ortiz, but more to the department. One, I realize that the cost of permits change on a regular basis, and so I would like to maybe ask the department, how stable are cost of fish permits, depending on whether they're seine permit, whether they're a gill net permit, or other permits that are available? And also, I'd like to know what the cost is to administrate the loan program. So, Madam Chairman, that's when we get to those, I'd like to see if we can get the department to answer those.
Okay. Representative Eastman.
Yes, through the chair. I also was curious about administration costs, so be interested to know when we get there. What are the length of these loans? Do we know that?
Madam Chair, I'd like to defer. Do we have any information on that, Elizabeth? Again, we'll probably have to defer. I would imagine the way the loans work, they might vary depending on, you know, the specific terms with the specific fishermen. But again, we'll allow the folks at the development program to talk about that.
Okay. Follow up. Also to the chair. Now, perhaps you can tell us, so if the program exists only for applicants who've been deemed ineligible for a loan elsewhere, what are the reasons why they were deemed ineligible and that got them into this program, or what's your experience in that department?
Through the chair, Representative Easton, that seems like a very good question. Again, I can only give you an answer based on the anecdotal information that I've received, but I think what's unique about the Alaska Economic Development Program, and particularly near fish loans, is that they have been doing this a long time. They understand the unique situations that exist within the fishing industry. They have a good grasp as to, the potential problems out there that fishermen might encounter. And also, I think they have a good grasp of the positive aspects of why they would bring forward this potential. In other words, they have a good handle on the fishing industry, and they have good data, they have good information. They have a great repayment rate. The default rate is very solid. I just think that in general, you could say that they have more experience in dealing with this specific area of the industry, whereas the banking industry, I think, they have lots of interest and they're processing lots of different loans, and I don't think that there would be in most cases, a specific branch within the bank that deals with fish loans. Does that make sense?
Sure. Paula?
Also
through the chair, now, do we have a handle on of the costs that are being borne by these applicants that necessitate the loans, what portion of those costs are created by government regulations that we've imposed or that are imposed by other government entities?
Well, through the chair, Representative Eastman, a permit, I guess, is issued by the state of Alaska, Commercial Fishing Entries Commission. So, in a sense, I guess that's a regulation, I guess you'd say. And it's certainly, the permits certainly contribute to the overall costs of to a particular fisherman. Other than that, there's a landing tax that is paid by fishermen that would take away from their bottom line for sure. But then again, that landing tax oftentimes goes back into money that refurbishes harbors and things like that. So in the end, they're beneficiaries of that money at least some of that money. Goes back to communities as well. So in any case, the fish and game obviously regulates the fishing industry to maximum sustainable yield, but any fisherman, you know, who wants there to be a future wants to see them do a good job with those regulations. And so I guess in this particular case, I don't really necessarily see it as being heavily regulated, at least to the negative of the particular fisherman. Generally, the regulations that are there in the end are positive for the fisherman. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from this committee? Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Representative Eastman brings up a good point, you know, on the cost of all industries, particularly in the fishing industry, with changes in regulations and how they continue to take away from the bottom line to add more government. So maybe with the government administration comes up, if we could ask him about that, I'd appreciate that.
Certainly. Thank you.
If I may, through the chair.
Please.
I would again like to point out that this particular program that the state runs is self-funded. It's not, doesn't draw on any of the state GF. It's funded by the ability of the fishermen themselves to pay back their loans with the interest rates, et cetera. So I think it's a pretty solid program. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from this committee? Thank you. Thank you, Representative Ortiz and Ms. Bowling. Seeing none, I have several testifiers here, but we do have a representative from the Department of DCCED, and we will ask her to come up and maybe respond to some of the questions that have been asked by this committee, and then we'll move into our public testimony as well. So, Ms. Sione Haywood, if you would come forward. Identify yourself and your affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my name is Brittany Cheney Haywood. I'm the Director for the Division of Economic Development in the Department of Community Commerce and Economic Development. So I have a number of the questions written down. So
yes.
Okay. In answer to the interest rate question, our current interest rate is 5.5%. It is 4.5% for engine fuel efficiency and product quality improvement loans. But for all other loans, it would be 5.5%.
Excuse me, do you have any idea what a comparative interest rate would be through a commercial bank?
I would not. I would have to get you a response on that.
Thank you.
Through the chair, on the question of the delinquency rate, currently at the end of fiscal year 16, we had a rate of 2.2% on delinquency rate. Industry standard is usually typically about 5% on that, so we're well below that. Through the chair, as far as the kind of competition issue, we do typically require a denial letter on many of our programs. It is not all. If you're looking at permits, we are one of two entities that can lean on a permit. So those don't require necessarily a denial letter, but if you're looking at a vessel loan, then that would require a denial letter either from CFAB, Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, or from a commercial lender. Through the chair, on the number of loans, we currently have about 2,000. I would need to get a precise number to look that up, but it's somewhere, I think, around just over 1,800 loans currently. Through the chair, on the cost of permits and as far as stability is concerned on that and is changing, this is a market, and so yes, they do have a bit of volatility to them. What we have seen over the last 5-6 years has been a trend upward. However, in light of some recent downturns in fishing, some of those prices have started to drop. If the committee would like, we could put together some more information as so far as, you know, individual permits. There's also individual permit markets, right? So there's all different types of permits, and so we would need to address those on a case-by-case basis. The cost to administer the program, we have an authorized budget authority of a $5 million. However, that is for all of our programs. We have 10 programs that we oversee with a total of, I believe, 26 components if you take in the various different sections such as reside under this loan program. So I would need to tease out the actual administrative cost to just this loan fund, if that is the desire of the committee.
Thank you.
The, through the chair, the length of loans is that we have up to 15 years. I'm trying to... through the chair, on the definition of the community, that's in reference to the community quota entities. Those are established by the National Marine Fisheries, which is a federal agency. And there is a separate CQE loan fund that I did want to point out in reference to that question as well. And I believe that is what I had written down, but if there are further questions, I'd be happy to address them.
Further questions? Okay, Representative Eastman.
Yes, through the chair. Are you familiar with the start of the program and sort of what the need was that justified the program start? And can you speak to if there were, you know, costs involved because of regulations that were part of that justification, or what was that original need to create the program?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, the program was born out of Limited Entry Act, which I believe is constitutionally mandated in the management of our fisheries resources. I would have to look up the exact date of that, but this is a 40-year-old program. It was established in order to lean on permits, because those permits are, it's a resource of the state and is to be held by the state. Private institutions are not allowed to lean on those permits. And so there are currently two entities that are allowed to lean on those permits. That is this division, the Division of Economic Development, as well as CFAB, or Commercial Fishing and Agricultural Bank. And so I believe that's where we kind of were born out of this need, as the program has changed over time in order to meet the needs of the industry. There's, you know, obviously a permit is the start, but not the only thing you need for commercial fishing by a long shot.
Thank you.
Follow up,
Representative.
Through the chair, can you speak to what are the reasons that you're seeing for why applicants would be found ineligible for their eligibility in this program?
Sure. Often it is due to poor credit history or no credit history. We also have seen them for inefficient or unacceptable collateral, lack of a historical income to service debt, potentially high unsecured debt, judgments against the applicant, lack of relevant experience. Generally, this is a high-risk industry. They also might just have an inadequate business plan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Two things. So I kind of was wanting to go where Representative Eastman went just now a little bit. As I understand it, for example, we have the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund, and, you know, some of these industries require such significant upstart costs and just are not eligible for traditional financing. So, for example, you need a significant piece of property if you want to have a farm. You can't get a loan for just a piece of property. And so I just wondered if that was part of, you know, why someone, you know, you just listed some of the other denials, but how, you know, does that influence it as well, that before you can even get out and catch your first fish, you got to get a permit and a boat and a crew, and, you know, you're going to have to spend a lot of money before you ever can make any money. And then the second part was, it sounded like you said about 1,800, so if you just have about a 2% default loan, that's maybe 36 or something on an annual basis. So I just wanted to confirm that. That seems pretty low. Thank you.
Through the chair, Representative Tarr. Yes, that is currently our delinquency rate, and that is correct. We tend to work with our borrowers pretty substantially. We have seen higher than kind of a five-year average this last fishing season of extensions. And so what we do is we don't just demand, if you can't make a payment, we will work with you, we will modify that loan and do a restructure on it. So currently, if you were to look at the default rate, it is slightly higher, but what it is that we are in the middle of processing those restructures on those loans. And so we will work with the borrowers in order for them to still be out there and maintain their business. As to the question of the startup costs, yes, there are significant startup costs in many of these fisheries. Representative Ortiz was correct in that it depends upon the fishery as well. But you're looking at, you named off most of them, but you're going to have your permit, your vessel, your gear, your fuel, your insurance, your crew. There are substantial startup costs. Often what people will do is, you know, save up their crew shares, and as they're starting to get into the business, these often tend to be legacy within a family, and so you might have help from your family as well if that's the case. But this is a program, we are not designed to be everything to everyone. That is not our place in this world. But we do tend to service a lot of younger fishermen for those reasons, and that they don't have that credit history or that established reputation, and so they are considered higher risk.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tarr. Representative Fensler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, one of the questions that I was looking to answer was, if we would go up to $400,000, can the fund sustain that? Obviously, not every loan is for that maximum amount and things like that, but have you done any study on that? And the second part of that would be, have you done any studies for incremental amounts above that, $450,000, $500,000 as the cap?
Through the chair, Representative Fensler, I do believe that we still have currently about $20 million, I believe, in cash balance, so we have flexibility within the program, I believe, to sustain the change that is incorporated in this bill. There has not been, that said, that is my opinion. There has not been a study. We have not done a formal study on it or analysis, and no, there has not been a study on an increase to raising the $400,000 overall limit.
But there are appropriate cash funds.
Yes. Through the chair, I will say that at times in the past, the amount has been higher. The overall is what I'm talking about, the overall $400,000. That happened, I'm going to say a decade ago. It could have been longer. But prior to that, there was a higher overall loan limit amount.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Eastman.
Yes, through the chair, of the 1,800 loans that normally have outstanding, can you speak to how many of those are at that $300,000 or limit currently? And also, could you speak to the $2 million limit that's just below that in the statute? Is that something that you're also a limit you're reaching on a regular basis?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, I would have to do some research on the number of loans that are at the loan limit amount. We would be happy to provide that information to you. As far as the $2 million, I will also have to get back to you on that because I'm not entirely sure on that question. I believe that is in reference again to the CQE program, and so we'll need to... I apologize for not having the answer today, but I'd be happy to provide it to you.
If you could provide that to my committee aide, Mr. Harris, he'll
absolutely
make sure the committee gets a copy of it. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director, is this program available to Alaska residents only?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, yes, that is correct. You have to have been a resident for 2 years prior to the loan application.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure we had that so people knew that was going on. Madam Chair, also, did we
follow
hear...
Follow up, Representative
Newman. Thank you, Madam Chair. Did we hear about the regulations? If we had changes in regulations that helped cost the increased costs for fishermen having to try and work within this industry, have you seen significant changes or changes in regulations that have... Or heard, maybe the representative has heard from other fishermen about the cost of regulations.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, I have not. I would need to coordinate an answer on that with the Department of Fish and Game. We have our regulations. I can tell you that we haven't had a regulations package change in our division in the last year since I've been director. However, as far as overall regulations on the industry, I would need a coordinated response.
Thank you. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Just one question. This has come up a bit for the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund, and so being placed at DCCED, sometimes there's been a discussion about that would it be better situated if it was in Division of Ag. Has that conversation ever taken place about this particular loan program, if it would be better suited for Department of Fish and Game? You know, no changes, just basically with it to sit with a different group of people. And I, you know, just from your perspective, you know, because on the agriculture side of things, I know, you know, it just, I know the philosophy is sort of behind the positions that different people have.
Through the chair, Representative Tarr, that's an interesting question and not one that I've pondered greatly. The Division of Investments, which is what it was called prior to a consolidation of offices and divisions in 2011, 2012, I believe. I think we work closely with Fish and Game and CFEC on the different pieces that affect this program. I'm not sure that I can speak to where it should be housed. We already kind of had those coordinated relationships.
Okay.
But you know, I know that there has also been talk of the agriculture. It is very specialized knowledge that we have within this division with the fishing. I have a collection section that has to know all kinds of different maritime and admiralty law as well to process collections. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, but I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Eastman.
Through the chair, I was just wondering, could you please walk us through what happens in the situation where a fisherman is just having, very bad luck and not catching fish, and sort of what happens? You mentioned there were some extensions that could be offered, and of course in these situations when you have a lien on a permit, how often does that permit have to be given over or subject to that lien, and does that count against your delinquency rate if that happens?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, yes, that would count against the delinquency rate. The process for a modification to a loan is that we have an application that needs to be filled out. It's, I believe, 15 pages long. We do ask for some financial information. Basically, we treat all extensions on a case-by-case basis. What we will do is work with the borrower to look at their financial situation and what would work with them. It tends to be a somewhat lengthy process, although not if information is received kind of quickly and timely and upfront. So it can vary as to how long these take. We do want to make sure that we try to be very good stewards of the state's money, and so we don't want to grant an extension if there is funding available to make that payment. However, if that is not the case, then we will work with extending that loan, taking the payment that is due, adding it back out on to the loan, and working with them through that case.
Thank you. Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. While we're on that subject, is there a percentage of extension rates that you might have that isn't figured into the default rate?
Through the chair, Representative Chenault, I want to make sure that I understand the question. Are you asking if we have all extensions in the default rate?
No, I would just, and Madam Chairman, I would just ask, are the extensions figured into the default rate, or do you have a rate of number of, let's say the number of extensions that you have on an average year where you're working with commercial fishermen to extend those loan opportunities out so that maybe they can make a go of the business?
Through the chair, Representative Chenault, the extensions are not figured into, when the extensions have been finalized and the modification made, they do not figure into the extension or the default rate. Those would only be if we could not have worked through a modification on that loan, and then it would end up in our default rate. The average number of extensions varies from year to year based on the fishing season. We have, over the past 5 years, had really very low extension rates. There's always going to be some because, you know, your engine blew out the day opening day of season and you're pretty much stuck. But we did see, because of the disaster that was happened and was just recently declared by NOAA within several areas of our state, have higher extensions, and we are still processing through those at this time for this past fishing season.
Madam Chairman, earlier it was mentioned that the original amount of the fund was $60 million. It has $95.2 million in it, roughly. I believe you said earlier that there's about $20 million out there that is that you have on the books. I can't remember where I was going with the question. I'll have to think about it.
Okay.
I'd answer my own question, Madam Chairman.
Representative Newman.
Okay, Madam Chair. Director, how is the loan managed? Is the, you said the value of it went from 60 up to about 95. It's been up and down there. Does the Department of Banking and Securities invest that money from that loan to try and achieve a certain amount of percentage or rate of return on that, or is it simply tied into the management of the fisheries loans? Is that the only value that it has?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, the cash balance is managed by the Division of Treasury and invested, I think, as part of their portfolio, and so it does return, I believe the term is Jafonzi funds, back to the state, back to the general fund. So that cash balance is managed to earn interest. The loan balances then are obviously money that we have dealt out, and that is all handled through the division.
Madam Chair, I think that'd be interesting just to see the history on that, and maybe as Representative Ortiz works this bill along to make sure that, you know, the investments have been going the way they should be, or they're not investing things that they shouldn't be. It seems like they're doing appropriate with that, but I don't know what rate of return they're working at or what they should be, and just something that maybe Representative Ortiz would be interested in making sure that it's performing the way it should be.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Newman. Are there any other questions? Representative Tran.
Through the chair, just to follow up on an earlier question, I understand that the, I'm very glad to hear that the number of extensions on loans is fairly low, and I understand it varies year to year. Could you please provide the committee with the percent of loans that have been offered extensions just on average, say, for the past 5 years, the yearly average?
Representative Eastman, absolutely, we'd be happy to provide that information. Obviously, I do not have that with me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there other questions? Seeing none, I will now open this meeting up for public testimony. And we will take in-house testimony first. And with that, we have Michael Bloom. If you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please. And if you would limit your testimony to 2 minutes, being we're running a little short on our time frame here, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. My name is Michael Bloom. I'm a local fisherman that I had gotten a state loan when I was 21 for this local fishery here for gill netting. I was just a crew member. I didn't go to college. Had trouble in high school. Didn't really know what I had to do as career choice. And without the state program, I wouldn't have been able to buy a fishing boat and start a business fishing. I didn't come from a fishing family, didn't have a lot of resources, so the state made it possible for me to do what I do now. I think it's a really good idea for them to raise the limit. I'm a Prince William Sound gill netter now and halibut fisherman. I hope to use these permits and boat I have as a retirement when I retire someday, and I'd like to see it go to local Alaskans, but through this loan as a way for me to retire. It's my investment into my career. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Bloom. We appreciate you coming. Are there any questions from this committee for Mr. Bloom?
Madam Chairman.
Representative Chenault.
Madam Chairman, more probably a comment than a question. It's good to see young people getting involved in the industry that helped build Alaska. When we talk about graying of the fleet, I can see in the back of the room a couple of gentlemen that probably fit that profile, and as I look around my community, I see the same thing. I see numerous older folks that are still making a living off of fishing, and it's hard to get young people interested in it without the ability to afford the equipment to be able to fish. So, Madam Chairman, I just appreciate young gentlemen like this.
Thank you, Representative Chenault. And along that, how long have you been fishing for yourself, Mr. Broom?
I got the state loan and bought a Southeast gill netter and boat when I was 21, so 7 years ago.
Well, good for you. That's great. It's a lot of hard work, and we can all appreciate how hard work that is. So we're happy to hear from you. Thank you for taking your time out to come testify before this committee.
Thank you.
We will now go to LIO testimony. We have Ketchikan LIO, Clay Bresnick.
Do you pick me up here?
We have you. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Well, my name is Clay Bresnick, B-E-Z-E-N-E-K, and I'm one of the gray hairs. I'm Southeast gill netter and a 34-year commercial fisherman here in the state.
Proceed with your testimony, please.
Well, I want to thank you guys all for taking this bill up, and especially Representative Ortiz and Elizabeth, his trusty assistant. This bill has been a long time coming, as I've gotten to see firsthand the value of our dollars, the cost of hydraulic fitting, that not just, I know time goes by as we get older, you know, and get grayer, but, you know, the hydraulic fittings used to be $2-3 a piece, and now they're $10-11 a piece, and so for that reason, I've been on Representative Ortiz to get this bill forward last year, and And by the graces, the Coastal Legislative Caucus has come together and it can maybe get some traction this year and go forward, because this is such a huge benefit to our state, having our coast be healthy. And during these economic times here where we do have some healthy industries, it's really good to solid them up and get them up to date financially, and as in this case here. So I took some notes also, and for that reason, I would like to see a friendly amendment for this to go up to $500,000 instead of $400,000. And the reason being this is for these young guys like Mikey, and by the way, that kid that just testified is one of the up-and-comers, and he's a savage, and I'm glad he bought into Prince William Sound because it's more fish for my fish roll now that he's gone. So, and by the way, Mikey, take your hat off, damn it. What I want to get across to you legislators, if I could, in the short amount of time, is I want to see the kids...
You have a very short amount of time, so if you could sum it up, we'd be grateful.
I'm sorry. Okay, the reason being a $500,000 limit is for kids in Prince William Sound and Bristol Bay to buy in to reasonably safe and competitive boats. And just the economics of it is, a boat in Bristol Bay, you're not going to find anything that's worth anything to put your kid on for really under $200,000. And if you have to do any work to the boat at all, you know, all of a sudden it's a $300,000 boat.
Thank you, Mr. Besnick. We appreciate your testimony.
Yep, very good. I appreciate you guys' time. I support this bill immensely and hope you guys pass it through.
Thank you. Thank you. We will now go to Ahmed.
A quick comment.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Representative Christ Tompkins.
No, I just want to thank Clay for, I believe, his service on the Fisherman's Fund Advisory Committee's recent appointment, and appreciate the testimony as well as that of Mikey, I guess, is the
thank
new
you.
Formal name on the record.
Thank you. We'll now go to off-net testimony. We'll go to Zach Hill in Homer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Zach Hill. I'm a commercial salmon fisherman from Homer, fisher on Kodiak Island. I'm also on the steering committee of the Alaska Sea Grant Young Fisherman Summit. I've basically been involved with commercial fishing my entire life. House Bill 56 is a great step to help keep young people fishing in our coastal communities. We have towns all across the state whose economies revolve around commercial fishing. Many of you are from these communities, Cordova, Kodiak, Dillingham, Ketchikan, Petersburg. Keeping young people in commercial fishing is vital to those communities' futures. 6 years ago, I was 27, I had a business degree, lifetime of commercial fishing experience and collateral. I went to the Division of Investments to try and get a loan to buy a boat. They couldn't help me, because even an entry-level boat and equipment in the Kodiak salmon fishery was significantly more than their lending limits allowed. I ultimately had to go elsewhere. I'm certain that this story is not unique to me. As many of you have heard, that decades this revolving loan fund has been completely self-sustaining. It literally costs the state nothing to run. I feel like there's really no reason not to increase these lending limits. And as you've heard, I think $400,000 is probably really just a starting point. So thank you for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Hill. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we'll go to Marcos Scheer in Seattle.
Yes, good morning, Madam Chairperson, and thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. My name is Marco Scheer. I'm a Ketchikan High School graduate. I'm currently an attorney. I also serve on the board of directors of the Alaska Fishery Development Foundation, the Southeast Conference, and the Sitka Chamber of Commerce, although I'm testifying on my individual behalf today. I started in the seafood industry in 1985 and have, through various portions of my career, been in it ever since. most of my practice involves representing vessel owners and seafood processors that engage in really every commercial fishery from California to the Bering Sea. And so I'm testifying in support of this bill. You know, primarily the cost of entry is so high in these fisheries. You know, vessels are, say a sane vessel is, you know, from $200 to $3 million. A gill netter is, I think the earlier testimony at $200,000 is a pretty reasonable number if you, in transactions that I've been involved in. Permits are the same. Depending on the fishery, permits can range as much as $250,000 for salmon, sane permit in Southeast. The ability for a young fisherman to start in this industry is that bar is very high, particularly since rationalization has limited the number of participants so much. So I think this rise from 300 to 400 is certainly a very welcome change. I think even higher would be a suitable change. When you get your gear and your repairs and your vessel and your permit, it could easily exceed $500,000 for even a gillnet operation. I very much think that this is a change that needs to occur, and I'm certain that the clients that I have throughout the state would welcome that opportunity, welcome that change.
Thank you, and we thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions from this committee? Seeing none, we appreciate your testimony, Mr. Scherer.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we will now go to Malcolm Milne from Homer.
Yep. Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Malcolm Milne. I'm the president of the North Pacific Fisheries Association. NPFA is a commercial fishing industry group based in Homer, Alaska. We have about 60 members, most of whom own and operate fishing operations in Alaska. Our members participate in multiple fisheries throughout the state. We were founded in 1955 as a marketing organization. NPFA has gone through many iterations over the years, but some of our archives include documents showing negotiations for king crab prices at 5 cents a crab. Speaking today in favor of House Bill 56, as stated in the sponsor statement, the current aggregate amount of $300,000 was set in 1982. And as we're all aware, a lot has changed since 1982. That king crab document was a little older than that, but it sort of illustrates the change in prices and economics since the time when this original aggregate amount was established. The sponsor statement also cites that the $300,000 number in 82 would be adjusted to almost $750,000 today. So I think asking for an increase to $400,000 is not unreasonable. Many of our members have utilized the loan program. Capital is a fuel that allows the economic engine to run. Access to capital is critical to allowing younger fishermen to move off the back deck and establish their own operations. These operations just fuel the economies of coastal Alaska and are vital to communities like Homer and to many of our members. NPFA's board supports this avenue as the most efficient way to help young fishermen. There's been other ideas floated around, but we think this is the most efficient way to get people, combat the graying of the fleet. We think it's a great way to grow our industry and contribute to the Alaskan economy. We appreciate Representative Ortiz introducing the bill, and we hope the committee considers moving this bill forward. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions from this committee? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. And that brings House Bill 56 back before this committee. Are there any further questions for the sponsor? Representative Eastman. Representative Ortiz, thank you. If you'd put yourself on the record, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dan Ortiz.
Yes, through the chair. Now, with this new increased limit, it would seem to me that there would be some amount of increase in delinquencies. Has there been projections made on how high that might go?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, I believe it was spoken briefly to by Ms. Haywood, and that I don't necessarily know that those projections have been made yet, but I think that while I don't speak for her, I think that their endorsement for this particular bill took into account the ability for the program to remain sustainable and to continue to be a solid program. So I don't think they would support it if they felt that by raising the limit it would jeopardize the overall program.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for the sponsor of this bill? Excuse me. Seeing none, due to the questions that have been asked by this committee and the information that's going to be provided to this committee by the DCCED, I will hold this bill. And with that, seeing no further business to come before this committee, I will gavel out at 11:02, and I would like to remind you that the subcommittee for the Department of Fish and Game will follow shortly. So stick around.